Father in heaven, thank you so much for seeing safely, all of us safely through another week. And Lord, as we're about to start our time together, we ask for your presence. We ask for your leading. We ask for your guidance. And we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us, that you would illumine our minds, help us to understand the words that we're about to look at, that you would speak so clearly and directly to each and every one of our hearts this evening, O Lord, that truly we might be able to see Jesus amongst us today. Thank you, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have the Bible texts for you on screen. I've checked them before, so I'm pretty sure they're working. But our text is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. And we're going to be reading a few verses, obviously, but this is towards the end of chapter 11 of Hebrews. The Bible says this, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Who are all these people that it's referring to? It's Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham, David, Samuel, all these people that we've been studying for these past few months. It said all these people, they obtained a good report through faith. They all lived by faith. And it says, yet they did not receive the promise. Look, it was faith that strengthened them. It was faith that gave them the victory. It was faith that made them righteous and brought salvation to them. It was faith that wrought in them and worked through them to do a good work and a mighty work for God. But yet the Bible says they received not the promise. Even though they obtained a good report by faith, they didn't receive the promise. They believed the promise, but they didn't receive it. Look, Abraham received the promise of a son, but this is not the promise that God is referring to here in Hebrews 11 and verse 39. They all received a good report through faith, but they didn't receive this promise. What was this promise that they did not receive? Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. Look at this. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out from, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a" what? "A city." Do you see there at the very beginning of verse 13? They died in faith. They didn't receive the promise, but they saw it afar off. What was that thing that they saw afar off? It was the promise of a better country, the promise of heavenly Canaan, the promise of heaven one day. So even today, Abel, Noah, Moses is in heaven, Abraham, David, all these great men that we find in the Old Testament, and the great woman, Rahab as well, and Deborah, and the different people that we've studied throughout Hebrews 11, they received the promise. They heard about the promise, but they never received it. They never got to tangibly touch it. They believed it. They looked forward to heavenly Canaan, but they never got it. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, this is that place where God is not ashamed to be called their God. "And I heard a voice, great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." God can only truly be our God when sin is finally done away with. At the end of time, Jesus Christ comes to claim us at his second coming and brings us up to heaven. Then this promise will finally be realized. So the patriarchs in the Old Testament, they received it in terms of having heard it and Jesus giving it to them face to face and through the spoken word and even the written word. But it will not be realized until the second coming. And that's the promise that Hebrews 11 is talking about, that everybody is looking forward to, that they see it afar off, but yet they're not able to tangibly bring it to them and make it theirs in total fulfillment. So it continues in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Let me repeat this again. God, having provided something better for us, that they, without us, who is that? Paul and those in the future, even up to our time, should not be made perfect without us. There's a group of people in the Old Testament who is waiting for the fulfillment of that promise, but yet it says God provided something better for us. What is that something better for us? We'll look at it in a minute. But you see, you got to catch the essence of this verse. They without us. Abraham, Noah, Abel, Jephthah, Gideon, Samuel, David, all these great men in the Old Testament and all these great women in the Old Testament, they died not having received the promise, and they're waiting for you and me this evening. Do you see that? They're looking for something to be fulfilled that would be fulfilled, hopefully in our time, but they were hoping would be fulfilled in their time, back when they were living. But God provided something better for us, that they, without us, could not be made perfect. Why? Because they're waiting. Waiting for what? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Who are those witnesses that are compassing us about? It's all those that we've been studying in Hebrews chapter 11. They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to do something that they, without us, cannot be made perfect. It's not been fulfilled yet. But what are they waiting for us to do? You see, they're waiting for us, according to Hebrews 12, verse 1, they're waiting for us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And they're waiting for us to run this race with patience or endurance. Friends, how are we to run this race, though? We got to lay aside every weight. We got to lay aside every sin. Noah, Abraham, all these great men and women in the Old Testament this evening are dead and buried in the grave, and they're waiting for us to run this race. They're waiting for us to lay aside our sins, to deny ourselves just like they denied themselves, to learn to truly live by faith. You see, as we're studying Hebrews 11 this evening, the conclusion of it really brings it all the way down to our time. How can we apply all these things? How can we run this race? It's the same way they would have run it, but we have a more tangible evidence. Do you know that? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, how do we run this race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We got to run this race by looking unto Jesus, by keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. This is the thing that was given to us that was something better. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 at the verse, at the end, it said there, God having provided something better for us, that they without us could not be made perfect. What was that? It was Jesus Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, all these people, Abel, Moses, Abraham, all these great men and women of faith, they did not have Jesus literally having come down to earth already as a man, as their savior, dying on their cross and resurrecting and going back to heaven. They didn't have any of that. They just had words. They just had promises. They just had spoken words from an angel. Yes, sure. Maybe from the written scripture that was already given to them at that time. But that's all they had to rely on. All these people died. And Jesus had not even come for the first time. Today we are waiting for his second coming. Today we are looking back 2,000 years and we have evidence, we have clarity that there was a man, that his name was Jesus, that he truly was the Son of God, that he came and died for our sins. He conquered the grave, he conquered the devil, and he's coming again one day for all of us. We have the benefit of what? Hindsight. To be able to look back into the past and see what the people in the Old Testament were looking forward to. Do you see that? God provided something better for us. Why? We've seen it with our own eyes. The event has already happened in terms of confirming the promise that God would promise heavenly Canaan one day. It would not be promised until Jesus would rise as a conqueror. Because if he didn't, the devil would have won. You see? So the whole story has been written out already. Jesus has come. He's conquered. He's in heaven. The promises are sure. It's not something that we just have to hope for. These things will become true clearly and truly one day at the second coming. You see, friends, there's one really important lesson that we have to learn at this point. When we study about the people in the Old Testament, when we look back and look at how they lived and how great their faith was, you got to remember, the promises that were given to them were not assured. They had to take it by faith in a sense. But today, our faith can be much stronger because Jesus has already come. Jesus has already conquered. Jesus has already fulfilled all the promises. The plan of salvation is sealed and set in stone. Jesus is definitely coming again for a second time in the future. All these things were not guaranteed, I should say, in the Old Testament. Of course, faith makes them guaranteed, but God still had to fulfill his end of the bargain by sending his son and conquering the devil and the grave. And so we have the clarity to be able to look back, and today we have no excuses. It's much clearer to us today than it was back then for them when they were looking forward, you see. And the piety and the zeal that they lived with and the sort of faith that they had, ours should be much stronger today, right? We have no excuses. We have the benefit of hindsight. What they were able to accomplish with the little faith that they had, we should be able to accomplish much more because we have the clarity of Christ and his cross and the assurance of salvation today. Do you see that? So what they are, we should have been much more. And every advantage that was given to them, we have even much more today as well. We are out of excuses. Do you see that, friends? We have Jesus who has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies already, and even many of the New Testament ones that are in fulfillment today. But Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He will perfect the work of faith in our hearts and lives. And so today, as we run the race with patience, we have to look unto Jesus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him. When Jesus starts the work of faith, friends, in our hearts, what happens? Hebrews 12:1 says that we will lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. But now let's go over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so if we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's the one that begins it. He's the one that ends it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. And here in 1 John 5:4, it says that faith gives us the victory. It means that if we are truly to live by faith, we got to constantly look at Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He is the one that perfects the work. And so the work of faith is about keeping Jesus in our view, to be able to see him, to be able to keep our eyes fixed on him, to be able to continue looking unto Jesus. He's the one that gives us victory. Victory over what? Sin. Laying aside every weight, every sin that so easily besets us. But let's look at this issue about sin real quick, and you'll see that it comes full circle. In 1 John 5:17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. And opposite to sin, we find in Romans 1:17. If unrighteousness is sin, it says here in Romans 1:17 that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If we are to be just one day, if we are to be righteous, we have to learn to live by faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is what keeps Jesus in our view, in our eyesight, in our direct line of sight. We have to keep Jesus right there before us. And you know, friends, that's how Abel did it. That's how Moses did it. That's how David did it. That's how Samuel did it. That's how all these great men and women of the Bible did it. They kept Jesus ever before us. That is what the essence of faith really is all about. But let's continue. Here's a familiar text, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, friends, it says we are saved by, for by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. So grace is the end product, so to speak, that we got to grab a hold of, and faith is the arm which grabs hold of grace and brings it down to us to give us salvation. So if we are saved by grace through faith, faith is the important factor to help us to grab hold of grace, which means really we are saved by faith. We are saved by what? Faith. Because without faith, we can't grab grace. Without faith, we cannot be saved. Without faith, we cannot be made whole and perfect. Without faith, we can never, ever stop sinning. And faith is what keeps Jesus in our view, in our line of sight, in our lives, ever before us, moment by moment. Faith and faith alone saves. And I want to show you how important that is this evening. Luke 7:50. And he said to the woman, whom we know that this is to be Mary, who washed the feet of Jesus there, he says to her, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. She was not saved because she washed the feet of Jesus. She was not saved because she brought an alabaster box full of ointment that was worth 1 year's wage and broken on his head and it was so expensive. She was saved by faith and faith alone, not by works, lest any man should boast. Friends, faith and faith alone saves. Let's continue. Luke 18:42. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. What saved him? Faith. Faith and faith alone saves. Not anything else. Not our works. None of that. Not a single one of our works ever saves us, friends. And I hope that's been clear throughout all the studies that we've been having this past few months on faith and Hebrews 11. Did we look at works? Yes. And we'll bring that into view again this evening. But I want to make it very clear. Faith and faith alone saves. Acts chapter 16, 30 to 31. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "What? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." What did he need to do to be saved? All he had to do was believe. Do you see that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, it must be centered rightly, of course. It must be focused correctly. It must be on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith and faith alone saves. And so as we read this next text, it makes sense as to why Jesus would say such a thing. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, there's a group of people, they come to Jesus and they ask Christ this question, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now, I don't know why they were asking something like that. Maybe they were really grateful for something that Jesus had done. They wanted to show their gratitude. Maybe they realized how much God had saved them. And so they wanted to repay him. It's like, "Jesus, tell us what we can do. We want to do God's work. In this time, we should be doing the work of God too, amen? We should be doing what God wants us to do. Time is too short to be doing what we want to do in our own lives and trying to figure out what will give us the biggest money, the biggest reputation, to climb the highest ladder." No. We got to work the works of God. And so these men, they come and ask Jesus, "What shall we do? We want to work the works of God." And Jesus says what? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." What did Jesus say? What is your work? That you believe. Our work is to believe on him whom he hath sent. To believe on Jesus Christ. That is the work that God said here, right here in John chapter 6. If there's any work that you want to classify that is work, it's belief. It's have faith. But friends, sounds too simple, right? How can we believe? How can we have faith? That's the question that we really need answered this evening. But if there is anything that we have to focus on, it's faith. It's focusing on keeping Jesus within our view, within our line of sight. We got to keep him right there before us all the time. This is the work of God, that you believe. But how? Let's go to the next text. Romans 10, 14 and 15. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Friends, do you understand what Romans 10, 14 and 15 is trying to say? This group of people, they can't be saved unless they hear. Unless they believe, unless someone comes and preaches to them so they can hear it. And then we understand the importance of the preacher. We understand the importance of Bible study. We understand the importance of the sermon. We understand the importance of congregating together at church and studying together. We understand the importance of Sabbath school. You see, we understand the importance of having being sent. And friends, if you think that you believe, if you think you have faith, what Romans chapter 10, 14 to 15 is saying, if you really have faith, you will be one of those that brings the gospel to other people. It's not just the work of the preacher. It's not just the work of the pastor. It's not just the work of the elder. It's not just the work of the Bible worker. It's the work of every single person that is saved. And then it continues like this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, my favorite text. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friends, how can we make the work of God our faith? How can we work on believing? We got to work on making sure we hear the word of God. Now, that sounds so simple, isn't it? It really is. It didn't say faith comes by reading and reading by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by doing and doing by the word of God. If there really is any part that is so simple into learning, it's not writing, it's not eating, it's not even seeing, it's hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I mean, Jesus, he chose the simplest way for us to grow in faith. It really doesn't take much effort to listen. Okay, having said that, men, we struggle with listening to our husbands, you know, listening to our spouses, and guys to their girlfriends and whatever it is. But, you know, men, we struggle with listening in that sense. But faith comes by hearing. What do you have to work on? And it's not even like reading the word of God. Do you know that? It's listening, hearing, something that we do so naturally. You know, it's like you don't really have to work hard at it. You got to work hard to understand what you're hearing, yes. But you see, it's easier to listen, and you can still close your eyes. But to read, to watch, that takes effort with our eyes. It can get tired. We feel sleepy. But you can listen. You can listen. You can grow in faith by just hearing the word of God. Yes, you can vacuum, you can run, you can go for a jog, you can go to the gym, you can drive. I still remember one person that came to my church once. He was so happy that he was caught in traffic jam in Malaysia. He began to enjoy it. Why? He had the audio Bible. He began to listen to the Bible, and he said it was wonderful. I could listen to the Bible in the car. It's so simple, really, if we want to grow in faith, especially in our day and age in the year 2020. When this was written 2,000 years ago, they didn't have radio. That was just about 100 years ago. They didn't have such thing as all these MP3 players and CD players and tape players and however audio was played back then. 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago, no, it's talking about a preacher. How can we believe if we don't hear? And how can you hear without a preacher? Today, we have preachers on the internet. You're listening to one right now. Today, we have websites full of sermons. Today, we have no excuse, is what I'm trying to say, to have no faith. Just start by listening. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are saved by faith, and it is necessary for it to be faith and not works. Why? Let's continue. Romans 3, 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Law. You see, Paul is trying to reason here. A man is justified by faith, not by works, not by what we do. Why? If we are justified by works, he's saying we can boast. Do you see that? If we are justified, if we are made righteous, if we are saved by works, I can go into heaven and go, I have a right to be here. But we will never enter with such an attitude. We are saved by faith, and faith alone. It excludes boasting. You see, boasting is a result of being justified by our works. I did something, I deserve something. I worked for this, I got paid for it, I can buy this, I deserve it. God, you never helped me. You see that? So if we are saved by works, we don't need Christ. We got ourselves to rely on. But justification by faith is a realization that we need help with and that we can't help ourselves. We got to look unto Jesus. Does that mean works is not important? Of course not. Look, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says what? You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? We are not saved by works. You must understand that faith and faith alone saves. And that's what I'm trying to hit home here this evening so far. Faith and faith alone saves. There's nothing else. God, He wants us to work the works of God. That's just simply what? Believe. And how to believe? Just listen. Just listen. But where does works come in? Where does works fit in all of this? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, right after verse 8 and 9, it says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, friends, when faith lays hold on grace and brings salvation down to us, it doesn't just stop there. It transforms us. It makes us a new creature. Grace cleanses us. It pardons us. It's faith that works. We are created in Christ Jesus to good works. You shouldn't have to force good works out of your life. You shouldn't have to force any good works. It's not that you shouldn't have to force it, but it's something that you see that is important and you desire. It becomes natural. In what sense? Let's take the extreme example and you understand what I mean by this. When a man gets married to a woman, does he walk down the aisle and go, "Oh man," or while the woman is walking down the aisle and he's looking at her and he's like, "Oh man, this is the last woman I'm going to ever be with again. I can't commit adultery." Is he saying it like that? No. He's happy. He's committed. He's in love. His faith is centered on that woman. Keeps her in view all the time. Do you see that? And that's what Jesus wants from us. When He becomes to us our all in all, we will produce works that we will take joy in doing. Faith works. Do you understand that? Faith works. Look, the evidence of grace in our life, the evidence that we have been saved, is not a warm, fuzzy feeling that you just go, "Oh, I just feel happy today." No, that's not the evidence of faith. That's not the evidence of grace. The evidence of grace and faith upon our lives is works. It's the testimony of a changed life. Do you see that? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Or Galatians puts it this way, chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." If Jesus were in your shoes, I'm sure actions would be different in how you lived your life this evening. That's the work of grace in our hearts. It's keeping Jesus in view, keeping Jesus in line of sight, looking unto Jesus and asking ourselves, if Jesus was in my position, what would He do? And then our works would be different. We are not saved by works, but I'm telling you, works is evidence of a changed life, of grace and faith working in us. It comes out in our actions. It comes out in our words. It comes out with what we do. It comes out with how we treat people. It comes out in those things that we call fruits that people can see and taste in our life. It's not new clothes on a new car or a new house. It's a changed heart. It's new thoughts, which results in new actions. An old life of sin is replaced with a new life in Christ, and it lays aside every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Friends, what am I trying to say? Let's come back to Hebrews chapter 12. How do we know that we are effectively looking unto Jesus? Our sins, not only are they being forgiven, but they don't come back to haunt us. They don't come back and we keep repeating them over and over and over and over again. The Christian life is not a cycle like what we saw in the book of Judges, where they would sin, then God would forgive them, and then they would sin again, and God would forgive them, and they'd keep doing the same thing over and over again. No, God wants us to lay aside this weight and every sin which so easily besets us. Why? Because faith works. When you have faith in your heart and life, when you are keeping Jesus before you, when you are hearing the word of God, when you are allowing grace to come in and transform you, it begins to work. Not the works of the flesh, not the works of sin, but the works of righteousness. Faith works. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Do you see that? Faith works. It's not just some little word that just sounds like a nice concept to have. No, when you have true faith, friends, it's wrought out in your life. It's wrought out in your works. Faith works. Just as much as you don't have to force it when it comes to love between a husband and a wife, do you have to work at it? Yes. What do you have to work at? You have to work at faith. You don't have to work on your works. You have to work on faith. Does that make sense? When you realize how unhealthy you are, maybe you're facing a life-threatening disease because of obesity or because of the things you've been eating and drinking. When a person gets a heart attack, when these things happen to us and become so real, many of us become willing to change our diet then, isn't it? Change our lifestyle, maybe even quit our jobs and do something different that's less stressful, that we've been taking all this stress for 20, 30 years and finally we broke down. Only then we're willing to change. But friends, faith is that wake-up call. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we keep Jesus before us and he works in our hearts and lives, these things take effect. It has power to change us. Do you see that? Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. But you see that? Our work of faith. We have to work on believing. Just like what Jesus said there back in John. We got to work on our faith. How? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But why does this become so important? What is actually happening? What is actually happening when we are working on hearing the word of God? I don't want you to make your devotional life and your walk with Jesus just a, if I have to go to heaven, I have to do this. It's not about that, friends. It's not like, check, I listened to the word of God today. No. What is faith meant to do? What is faith meant to produce before it produces the good works? It's this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see, friends, through faith, the picture of Jesus is meant to be reproduced in our hearts and our lives. Faith is not about gaining all this head knowledge, to be the smartest person out there to quote Bible scripture. No, it's not about that. Faith is not about just hearing and then forgetting. When we hear the Word of God, when we spend time in the Word of God, all the sermons that we listen to, all the time we read the Bible, all the time that we're spending in prayer, our time in church, in our devotions, in Bible studies, whatever it is, as you're sitting here this evening listening to the Word of God must form the picture of Jesus in our hearts, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In Revelation 3:17, Christ is pictured as knocking on the door of our hearts. And it will take faith to open it, to let Jesus in, that he might dwell in our hearts, that we might be rooted and grounded in love. It's not just, did you pray today? Did you read the Bible today? Did you do this today? Did you have a round of religious activity today? It's not about that, friends. It's about letting Jesus come in and clean things up. What did the Word of God say to you this morning as you read the Bible? What part of your life did the Bible shine a spotlight on to say, Ben, you need to change here. Ben, you need to change there. It's not just about reading it and go, God, I read 10 chapters today. It's not about achievements, except the achievement of letting Jesus into your heart. Looking unto Jesus. It's not about stories to tickle our fancy in our minds, about crossing the Red Sea and killing giants with a stone. It's none of those, friends. It's that Jesus, he lives in here. And letting Jesus shine out to everywhere else. Can people see Jesus in you today? That's really what faith is all about. Because when Jesus dwells in our heart, this is where it gets easy, friends. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we allow Jesus to live in us, we give him permission to take control. And the life that I now live, it's Jesus living in and through me. It's him guiding my life. It's him taking me on this journey. It's him showing me what I should do, what I should say, how I should conduct myself, whether I should be in this job, whether I should marry that person. That everything that I say and do, if Jesus is in me, truly, I can give glory to him because it's all about him and not about my life, not about my time, not about my money, my property, my studies, my degrees. It's not about any of those things. It's not about my wants. It's about Jesus. What do you want me to do? And he's the one, when he comes in, that gives us strength to do every single work beyond believing. Jesus today cannot force us to believe. That is our work. But when we believe and we open that door, to allow Jesus to come in, unlimited power is given to us because Christ, God, is with us. But friends, how? It's by faith. And faith today comes by hearing. Have you been listening to the Word of God? Have you been spending time in His Word? How does it work in you? I don't know. The Bible tells us that the Christian life, it's a mystery even to the Christian himself. Do you know that? How God makes us righteous? I don't know, but he just does. Look at this. In Colossians 1:27, it says this, to whom God would make known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Mystery, do you see that? Among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not we don't know how to get Christ in us. It's when he's in us, what does he do? I don't know, he just works. He does it. Look at this. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness. It's a mystery. How does it work? We don't need to know. We just need to know that when we let Jesus in, it's effective. It works. We got to work on believing. We can't believe if we don't hear. And so today, we have plenty of opportunities to grow in faith. You got to work. Work on making room for Jesus, that he'll be your first, he'll be your last, and he'll be the best of each and every day. Do you see that? We got to work on our faith. And then Moses, Aaron, Noah, Abel, Sarah, all these great men and women of faith, they're waiting for you and for me to start listening to the Word of God, something that many of them had no opportunity because the Bible was not written yet. They're waiting for us to get it right. Start listening to the Word of God. Yes, with our modern conveniences, we become more busy. But with our modern conveniences, we have more opportunity to listen and grow in faith. We don't have any excuses. We don't. So friends, today, let's take up the challenge. Let's take up the mantle. Let's take up, the relay race, the baton, the rod that's passed throughout the four runners. We are at the very end. Let us run this race with patience. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Christ and allow nothing to get in between us, me and my Savior. Nothing between. Nothing between, friends. And so today, as we conclude our studies on faith, it comes right down to us right here. We got to keep our eyes fixed clearly and focused on Christ. You know, Peter, when he walked on water, Jesus was the one that bid him to come out. He was the one that said, "Come, Peter, it is me, just come." And Peter got out and he began to walk to Jesus, and he was doing something that no man had ever done before. But you know what? Every step he took, he gained self-confidence. And for a moment, he lost sight of Christ. What was he doing? He was probably looking back and going, I wonder if all the other disciples are watching what I'm doing. He was thinking about self. And in that instant, that's all it took for him to sink. Friends, we got to learn to live in the presence of Christ. We got to take him to all our studies. Take him into our workplace. Taking him into our relationships. Take him into our recreation times. Take him everywhere with us. And if Jesus is truly with us, we can have victory over every sin, because greater is he that is with us than he that is with them. And so today, friends, as we conclude here for our series on faith, it comes back down to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Let's run this race with patience. You might have read that verse 100 times. Read it again. Don't ever stop. Keep the Word of God before you every moment of every day. That's my desire. Something that I have to strive to. And I pray that we would all strive for that as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, oh Lord, there are so many distractions in our lives. There's so many things that just take our mind away from you and your word. Oh Lord, please help us to live by faith. Teach us what it means to really grow in faith, in knowledge, in understanding of our Savior. Help us, Lord, to open the door of our hearts and let Jesus in. Lord, I know some of us, we're afraid of the future and what that means, but Lord, help us just to live today. Help us not to think about the future. Help us today to live in your presence and let tomorrow take care of itself. And so, Father, please be with all my brothers and sisters. Guide us in our struggle to understand how to grow in faith. Give us the strength, Lord. You know that we desire that. Help us and give us the energy and the power to live a life of faith today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.